Thank you very much to Nefti and Abdi. Really appreciate that. I was watching the speed of their fingers. I just thought, wow. You know, it's amazing the talents God gives to all of us in different ways, and it's great when individuals take that talent and work with it. So thanks to both of you for practicing that. I can't imagine the time that goes into all that behind the scenes. Well, brethren, we live in a country that is so very blessed. You know, if we've grown up in this country, we're maybe used to that. But if we've moved here from somewhere else with poor living standards, we realize just how much we have here where other countries don't have that. And yet all throughout the year, we should reflect on God's blessings in our lives, not just at this time close to Thanksgiving, but every day of our lives, to look at and be appreciative of all that God has given us in many different ways. And for each of us, it might be a little different regarding the blessings that have come into our life. But when you think about the poverty that exists in the world, if you look on the internet and start searching out, or if you've traveled to places abroad, you've seen how some areas are very poor. It's estimated that 50% of the world lives on less than $2.50 a day. Can you imagine that? You know, what we might take for granted, say, $2.50, that barely buys a large drink at a convenience place or something. The world has so little in so many areas. If we expand that out a little bit, 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. And so even if you're considered poor in this country, in most cases you have a lot more than that. And so many people in the world would be happy just to have a fraction of what we have, because we have so much. Let's begin today in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. And as we look at these scriptures today, brethren, we realize that the Bible reveals that it's important to consider the blessings that we've been given, to take note of them, because these blessings are from God. Our very lives are from Him. Let's notice what Paul writes here, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. So at that time, even Paul was expressing, he goes, you know how times are. You know that you need to be getting ready for the time of the end. And it doesn't matter what time that is throughout history. How much more for us today to be thinking about that? Verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Or you could say it comes secretly. And it will on the whole world. We know that. The question is whether it will come secretly on us. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. I think this is telling us that it can. Even though we're called by God, even though we have the knowledge of God's plan, it can take us unawares if we're not careful. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So this is the frame of mind we need as Christians, to be really looking at world events and looking at our own lives to see where we stand and what God requires of us. I think Paul is reminding all of us that no matter what age we live in, we better get ready. And we know that we're living in the last days. So more than any other age, we better really get ready, because the time can be short. And like was mentioned earlier, we don't know how long we have. But the point is, we must not wait until we think we have enough time. We have to do that right now. Let's jump down to verse 14 and look at a few more words here that Paul expresses. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So here's just a few items that Paul reminds us of to say that as you grow, as you get ready for this, the day of the Lord, for the return of Christ, these are some of the things you need to be doing. Let's notice some of the items he continues with. Verse 16, rejoice always. This is important for us to think about. I just spoke on that recently. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So we could add in there even the appearance of evil. Even though it might not be wrong what you're doing, if it looks wrong to someone else, be careful with what you're doing. And so all of these items are very important. But today I would like to focus on verse 18, which said, "In everything, give thanks." Brethren, is this an area that we can grow in? Are there areas in our life where we live and we don't really stop to think about that we haven't been as thankful as we should in that particular category? I know this is an area that I can grow in. I'm sure that most of you would feel the same way. Because it's easy to overlook these four simple words. In everything, give thanks. So that's my title today. In everything, give thanks. You know, if we look at a few of the synonyms for the word thank, it means to acknowledge, to recognize, to show appreciation. It means to be grateful. This is what God has inspired Paul to write for us. And the Greek word for give thanks literally means to express gratitude. Think about that. Because I know many of us at times are thankful, but do we express it? This is telling us that we need to speak up and share what we feel. So God is saying, I need you to do more than just think it. I need you to do it. And that can be hard for us at times. You know, maybe the occasion isn't quite right. We go, well, that's a bit awkward. Maybe we're shy and it's hard to go do that. But here we're told to work on that, to do better. And so when it says everything, in everything give thanks, that really doesn't leave out one single area, does it? I mean, everything. If you think about whether you're at work, at school, in the community, at the store, at home, raising your kids, it includes every single thing that you can think of. We need to make this our way of life. So if you would close your eyes for a second, just close them for a second, and now picture for a moment that that is your eyesight or your lack of eyesight for the rest of your life. And yet we can go around each day and forget that God has given us eyesight. And if you think about now with your eyes closed that you got to get home. And maybe you drove here, but now how do you find your car? How do you drive in traffic? When you get home, how do you find the front door? How do you know which key to put in? And it starts affecting everything. So you can open your eyes, but my point is, look at just one little facet of life, like our eyesight, and how important it is. And to give God thanks for that. That's just one area that we can take for granted. Can you imagine trying to eat a meal that maybe somebody else has set in front of you even? They did all that work. But if you couldn't see, I mean, how would you know as you tried to scoop up your food if it was even on the fork? There's so many things that we take for granted. Many areas are out there that we need to express thanks for. You know, first of all, to God, for that He is our protector. And we take it for granted that every night when we go to bed, I mean, we just assume that, you know, we pray for that. But He's protecting us. And who knows the times that something would have happened to us if God hadn't have set His angels around us. That He's our healer. And the extra pain we would have gone through because we didn't ask Him, and therefore He didn't heal us of some of the sicknesses or accidents we've had. And so besides God, then there's the individuals that we need to thank them for the help they give us. You know, if a neighbor comes over and helps us cut down the tree or whatever it is, are we thankful? Do we even thank people for the example they set? Because that's an important part of life. Brethren, we know there's physical blessings, there's spiritual blessings, and we need to show thanks through our words, but also through our actions. How we live our life is a way of expressing our thanks as well. And we notice that it's the will of God. Look at verse 18 again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is a double emphasis because we know every command in the Bible is already the will of God, but here He tells us that again, saying, my children, don't forget how important this is. So, brethren, if we claim to understand the plan of God, of how great it is in every way, every shape, every form, we need to be more than thankful. We need to express thanks. We need to take the time, the effort to, you know, speak it, to write it, whatever fashion we put it out there. Because God is asking us to go beyond just thanking or beyond being thankful. He's asking us to literally do something. Because it says to give thanks. That's a big step. And so my focus today is on expressing our gratitude. This scripture is encouraging us not to hold inside what we feel, to let it out, you know, to literally say something, not just to feel it. You know, a week from Thursday, our nation will be celebrating the Day of Thanksgiving. And I know many times when I've been around family or people in the world, they start calling it Turkey Day. And that always bugs me because I go, no, this is a day of Thanksgiving. It's not about the turkey. It's about the abundance. It's really about God who has given us the abundance, how much we have, the opportunity to even have family, that we can be thankful for that, and to have the food that's on the table and thankful for that. And it goes on and on. So I'm not saying someone's sinning when they call it Turkey Day, but it's like it's taken away from the true purpose of who we should give thanks to, our great God. And yet that holiday can bring good memories of gathering together with families and friends and to enjoy the abundance we've been given. But many people overlook the meaning of that day. You know, a day of thanksgiving. Not just being thankful, but literally giving thanks. To mention, you know, maybe as you gather around the table, to mention what God has done for each one of us. To really express that in a way that I know is pleasing to God. When we think about thanksgiving, it really is a characteristic of God. He's literally developing us to be more like Him. And He's very thankful, and that's His quality. And He's saying, I want my children to be the same way. And no matter what trials we're going through, we do have so much to be thankful for. You know, each of you have gone through a lot of things over the decades, and we know many people suffer in various ways, but we always have the opportunity to think about, if we made a list, I think we'd be surprised of how many things we have to be thankful for, to consider that. You know, I built a list a while back of some of the physical blessings that I noticed in my life, and many of these would overlap with your lives. But if you think about just this country that we live in, the amount of coastline that we have for fishing and people living at the beach, there's some countries in the world, they have no coastline. They're locked into the middle of other countries, and they don't have that. If you consider the lakes and the rivers we have, how beautiful it is to be able to have those streams that can water the land or provide fish and the beauty and the sound of the rushing water. Or you consider the forests that we have. I mean, you think about areas in the world that are mainly desert, and they don't have some of these things that we can take for granted. The amount of fertile ground we have in this country, for the farmers to grow out and just throw some seeds in the ground and things just seem to spring up. God has blessed us greatly. Or even the minerals. Some countries don't have many. You know, we've got gold and silver and copper and all sorts of things. That's just one area. And I could go on and on with that, but let me mention the freedoms. There are countries out there that cannot follow what they believe. That there's restrictions on their religion if it goes against the country. And yet we have the freedom of religion here to gather today, to bring a Bible, to talk about it. Maybe one day we won't have that, but for now we do, and we should give thanks for that. If you think about other freedoms, just to be able to travel from state to state. You know, I'm reminded years ago when, you know, some of the European countries, they couldn't just easily go from across one border into another. And there's other countries that, you know, they have armed guards waiting at the county or the country's roads at the borders. And we have that opportunity just to travel from here, go through this state and that state. And that's a freedom that many people in the world don't have. Of course, we have abundance in every area. You think about the food that you've eaten this past week. Just to be able to go to the store and not just a loaf of bread, but this kind of bread and that kind of bread, and you know, or even hot sauces. And you look at the variety of that, and you could name any topic. We don't just have hot sauce or bread. We have varieties upon variety. We have it in abundance. And even the cost, even though it's going up, we can still be thankful. It's so much lower than other countries where their inflation rates are in the hundreds of percent. Another area of thankfulness is our vehicles. You know, as I take a walk some evenings, I look in the driveways, and in the past I've known where there were only two people that lived in the house or three, and yet there's four cars out there. And so their biggest problem wasn't, I don't have a car, it was, which car am I going to drive, and do I need to pull this one out so I can get that one out so I can park back in? And so you think about how blessed we are. I know years ago a man visiting from another country told me, he says, I've never seen a country like it. You literally have a house for your car. He meant garage, but I've taken that for granted. My whole life I've always had houses with garages. But he said, in our country, we don't have that. So much to be thankful for. Even our roads. You know, as you drove here today, paved roads. You know, when I was in Colorado, and it's kind of out in the boonies there, we were building some houses. And a lot of times you got off the main road and it was gravel. And you know how gravel roads are. They get bumpy after a while and they pitch your windshield and so forth. But when you got past the gravel roads, then you got into the dirt roads. And when they got wet and the clay in them, they would be so slick. And mud would get all over your car and it was a mess. So just to have a paved road is so nice. So these are just a few of the physical blessings that we enjoy. And so I think we all realize that we should be thankful. But God is telling us, that isn't enough. I want you, as my children, to express your thanks. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. You know, the phrase, give thanks, is mentioned 44 times in the Bible. You see how important that is to God to say that? It doesn't just say thankful. No, it says give thanks. Thanks. And as we follow that command, we are learning more about God's way of love. You know, here in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to him and he tells him what the people will be like at the end time. We're living in that time and it's going to get worse. Let's notice what he says here. 2 Timothy 3, we'll read a few verses here starting in verse 1. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. So that word perilous, meaning terrible, difficult, meaning dangerous. That's what God says is approaching. And so we better be thankful for the times we still have. Now let's notice some of the attitudes of men and the problems they have. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And so as you go through life, you can kind of think how you see more of this in this age than you did, you know, back when you were kids. These things are increasing. They will be disobedient to parents. And then notice this, unthankful. Really not appreciating what they have. Not recognizing God who gave it. They will be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Brethren, these days are here, and in places around the world, individuals notice this greater than we do in our communities. But it's going to get worse. And I think it's interesting just to look how unthankful is mixed right in the middle of that. To be unthankful here is described as a very serious sin. God is saying it's not a small matter, I should say. And think about it, because it's included with sins such as brutality. When we think about somebody being brutal or hateful or blaspheming, we go, that's terrible. But here, unthankful is locked right in, lumped right in with those. And God is wanting us to recognize that that is something that we need to improve in. Being thankful teaches us to look at things in a positive way. Just as Paul wrote and said in the book of Philippians, he said, I want you to think on things that are true, noble and pure and just, and not be unthankful and be, you know, cutting things down and saying things that are evil. We're told how to think. And yet as we look at our nation at this point in time, we see so many of the blessings that are taken for granted. We can do the same, can't we? I know there's areas of my life that I need to improve in. I'm sure you did do as well. You know, years ago, Belinda, when she was working in the bakery at Publix, some of the little children would come up for a cookie. Their parents would usually be with them. And yet at times the parent would say thank you. And at times that the child wouldn't even say thank you. Even when their parent told them to, they still wouldn't. And yet what was amazing is the parent allowed it to happen. They still got the cookie and walked away. Can you imagine as a kid if your parent said, say thank you? Would you have gotten the cookie? I don't think I would have. So times are changing, and Paul gives us a glimpse of that here in 2 Timothy. Are we careful not to fall into the trend of being unthankful? Because as a nation continues to slide in that direction, will we take part in that? Will we just become numb to the fact that, we're used to this, we deserve this? Brethren, even this Sabbath service is just one small opportunity for us to express thanks. You know, to thank people for bringing the snacks, for bringing food donations, for doing the sound, for preparing the stage, whatever it might be. You know, bringing flowers or just whatever. There's all these duties that go on behind the scenes. You know, teaching a class, serving, setting up things, you know, preparing the activities. We have an opportunity to thank them. A simple expression of gratitude that God is asking us to share with others. And to think that we can encourage someone through that. Sometimes people, when we don't and aren't encouraged, we tend not to want to do it. Like, nobody really appreciates this. Nobody really wants me to do this. But if somebody comes up and says, thank you for doing that, you go, oh, that's having a positive effect. And they appreciate it. And it makes me or you want to go do it more and say, I want to help. And so we need to tell others, whether it's our mates, our children, our brethren, even our neighbors, we need to look at ways to take the time to express thanks. We don't always know when someone is discouraged, when they're ready to give up, but giving a word of thanks can really change their day, make them look at it in a different way. We have to tell others often. You know, tell them how you feel. Express it. You know, take the extra time and make the effort to call them, to write them, to email them. And that's a part of expressing our thanks. Because our words can make a big difference, and it can brighten up a person's day. So we need to think about how we're doing in sharing our expression of thanks. You know, each of us need to evaluate ourselves, not others, but say, how am I doing in this command from God to express gratitude to those around me? Let's go back to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 12. We'll look at an example here. Brethren, have you ever prayed for God's help in an area? And then he answers your prayer. And you think about it later and you go, you know what? I didn't go back and thank God for what he gave me. I've done that. I remember years ago, I asked God to help me sell a home. I put a little ad in the paper. It only came out once a week. And on that first day the ad came out, a person came by and made an offer on the home, and I was in complete shock. And then it hit me a day or two later. I go, that was an answered prayer, but I didn't stop to give thanks. And so I think God wants us to think about that more in life. And we have an account here that shows how it's easy to overlook things that we should be thankful for. Luke 17, verse 12. Then as Christ, entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So why did these men stand afar off? Because as lepers, if you go back and study it from that time, they were told by the laws of the land that they had to stay, I think it was 50 yards away from other people. They didn't want this disease to be spread. And so the law required them to do that. And so here it says they were standing afar off. It's just a little clue of what they were supposed to do at that time. I'll read verse 13 again. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Going to the priest was also a requirement of the law. As they noticed some little defect in their body, on their skin, they had to go to the priest, and they would determine whether they would be, in a sense, ostracized or go and have to do things so that it wouldn't spread among the community. And so the priests inspected them both when the disease or the problem came up, and they also had to inspect them when the condition was cured, or at least they thought it was. And if you want to read more on that, you can go back to Leviticus 13 and 14, and it describes in detail how that process worked. But here Jesus didn't ask these 10 men to come back and show appreciation, but we know that he wanted them to, and that he wanted it to come from their heart, though. And that's why, as we're raising our children, and they do, you know, we do something for them, we go, what do you say? Oh, thank you. We kind of remind them, but we want them to remember that and think about that over the years, so when they become an adult, it comes from the heart. Like, oh, thank you. So we train them in that way. In verse 15 here of Luke 17, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Isn't that amazing that only one did that? Now, the Samaritans at that time weren't thought of in a good manner by the community. They were considered outcasts by the people. And so this Samaritan, who was despised by the Jews, literally came back and offered thanks. And verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And so I just wanted to point out here, this Samaritan displayed three excellent qualities, three traits of being thankful. And I'll just comment on them quickly. One is promptness. You know, if we wait too long, we can forget. But notice, he was on the road to even have the priest give him the okay to go back into the community and live a normal life. But he turned around. He didn't put it off. And I'm sure the other nine were caught up and said, no, we got to go get this done so we can get this process rolling. Secondly, he did it with his whole heart. He showed enthusiasm. And we should do the same as God blesses us. And thirdly, he had humility. Because notice, it said that he fell down on his face at his feet. You know, he just had that attitude like, I am so grateful by your great power and what you've done for me. And so he came back, and maybe all of them were thankful, but he was the only one to express it. And Christ is showing us how important that is. These qualities need to be practiced by us as well, that we follow through on this. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? I think from that statement we can see that even though he didn't tell them to come back and thank them, that's what he expected. Just like when we do something for our children, we may not tell them when they're teenagers, well, come back and thank me. No, we taught them during the early years, but they should still come back and do it. We expect them, or we should do the same. Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And so we'll notice from verses 15 and 18 that the Samaritan was giving glory to God. By expressing thanks, it was a way to give God the glory and the honor and the respect. And sometimes we don't tie that all together. So the lesson here is when we fail to give thanks to God, we're also failing to give God glory. And yet we're told to do that, and everything we do, give glory to God. So when we humbly thank God, we're offering him praise and glory. And Jesus was clearly disappointed in the reaction of the 9, because that was a huge, life-changing event for them. And yet they didn't stop to say thank you. Maybe they forgot. At times we forget, can't we? I just still remember that house, and it just hit me. It was like a bolt of lightning. I go, I asked for it. God answered. I forgot. And so at times we do forget. But what we should do is, as soon as we realize it, we should go to God and say, God, thank you so much. Sorry I didn't think of it sooner. And so consider the blessings that we enjoy in life, and that it's easy to overlook where they come from. I mean, overall, they all come from God, but he uses other individuals and circumstances to bring them into our lives. Let me mention what William Barclay's commentary states about this section of Scripture here. He says, no story in all the Gospels so pointedly shows man's ingratitude. You know, for these 9 just to walk away and forget what God had done for them. He goes on to say, God gave us his only son, and often we never give to him even a word of thanks. So as we analyze our lives, as we think about the multiple blessings of whether it's this country or the jobs we have, the opportunities we've been given, the calling we have, whatever it is, God is saying, learn lessons from this and learn to express how you feel. You know, Webster's dictionary shows similarity between glory and praise and offering thanks. It's like they're all combined. They're all good. The word thanksgiving in the dictionary, it means this: the act of expressing gratitude for favors or mercies, an acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God. So that's why I love this time of year, but it's true throughout all the year. But the idea that the American people would have a day of thanksgiving, we see less and less that anymore, but it's nice that we still have a holiday that doesn't point to paganism as so many of the holidays do, but that we literally as a nation can give God thanks, and we as individuals can do it even in a greater way. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 1. And we'll notice the examples here, just in a few of the Psalms, how important it is to express what we feel, that we're reminded to do that. Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Eternal, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." If you look at verse 8, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men." So it doesn't just say, "Oh, that men would be thankful," which is a good thing. That's wonderful. But it goes the next step here and says that they would literally express the thanksgiving, that they would give thanks. They would make that extra effort. And so verse 8 is also repeated in verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. It's so important that time and time again throughout this chapter, the idea of giving thanks to God for His goodness is expressed, because it's vital that we know that, we remember that, and we give honor to God for that. Because giving thanks is a quality that God wants each of us as His children to grow in. He wants us to do better as we go through life. The word glorify means to praise, to magnify and honor in worship, in thought or words. This is what God is asking us to do as physical children, one day to become spiritual children. He's teaching us how to give Him glory. The word praise means honor rendered because of excellence or worth, especially the joyful tribute of gratitude rendered to the divine being. And so you can see how closely connected thanksgiving, praise, and glory are. They're connected very much. And God asks us to do that in how we live our lives. Turn back a few pages here to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 and verse 4. David and the other authors here in the Psalms mention quite a bit of how important it is to not only be thankful, but to give thanks. Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise." See how it connects the two? "Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." So these words tie together beautifully. And yet at times in our lives, we can neglect taking action on that. Not going to God, not going to others, and simply saying thank you for what they've done for us. Our Father wants us as His children to show appreciation. So brethren, we need to have the motivation. We need to take and make the effort to go before God, to go to others to do this. Because many blessings that we receive are taken for granted. Our daily food. You know, I notice when I'm around people in the world that there's not very much of saying a blessing over the meal, of thanking God for that food. And over the years, we can take that for granted. Even our eyesight, as I mentioned earlier, just a roof over our heads, all these things we need to go to God and to others on a continual basis and offer thanks. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. There's a principle here in Deuteronomy 6 that God shows us that if we don't offer thanks for what He has given us, that they can, those blessings eventually can be taken away. And we know they were for Israel. They weren't thankful as they should have been. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll start in verse 10. And it says here, "So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build." Right there, stop and think about that. You think about how much work it takes to clear land and build buildings. In those days, it would have taken much longer than today with all the equipment we have. But God gave him a land that had many of these things. And it goes on in verse 11, "Houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full." So the idea here, God was giving them so much. But notice then, continuing in the next few verses, verse 12, "Then beware." So, you know, after they've eaten and are full, then he goes, "Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Brethren, God has given us everything we have. And we don't even deserve what we have. Now, we can always be wanting more, but God says, be thankful for what you have. And one day, he will give us an inheritance that's beyond our imagination. He wants to give us the universe. You know, just like our parents usually say, here's your inheritance at the end of their life. Well, God, our Father, wants us to have all things and enjoy that and take care of it. And he has a great plan for us. And so earlier I mentioned a few of the blessings that God's given us, but I'll mention a few more at this point, because we don't want to, in a sense, eat and have our full and then forget what God has done for us. What about education? You know, in this country, that can be taken for granted. You go to other countries, sometimes children don't even go to school. They go out in the fields at an early age and they work from sun up to sundown, hard labor their whole lives just so they can barely eke out a living. And yet we have that available in this country. In some countries, the women aren't educated as the men are. Other times, the costs are so great that a lot of people can't get an education. So that's just one area. What about health? Because I know some of us are not in the best of health, but consider this. There's always someone worse than we are. We can say, oh, my leg is hurting me. But what about the person that is crippled to a degree where they can't walk, or the person with no leg or legs? And so we need to be thankful for what we have, to appreciate. Of course, we always desire to improve in that and to be healed. I remember when I was a young boy, I had a cousin that lived, living in California, and my cousin was in Minnesota. And I wasn't told much about it, but when I first met her, I was like 6 years old. And this young girl, I don't even remember her name anymore because it's been so many years, but this was my cousin, and she died shortly thereafter. But her whole life, she had been in bed. She could not talk. She could just barely move and smile a little bit. But I just stood there as a six-year-old looking and going, I can't believe a person could live like this in that bed for years. And I think she lived until 12 or 14 and then died. But we have to be thankful for the health we have. You know, even if we have a walker or a wheelchair, just to be able to get out and move about. This person, this cousin of mine, it couldn't even communicate at all, had never gotten out of bed, could not feed themselves, nothing. So we have so much to be thankful for. Another category is our home. You think about the people around the world that live in refugee camps. I mean, just crowded conditions, unsanitary. No bathroom available, no heat and air. I mean, we go, oh, it's a little uncomfortable in here, let me. And we can walk over there and click the temperature down. And it's good. We have that blessing. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there's so many without it that we should truly be thankful for everything we have and not over the years just say, oh, I'm used to that. No big deal. I want more. No, we need to give thanks. And even our access to having a phone or the internet or the cable. That there are some areas that don't have that in the world. Now, that's becoming less and less, but we can truly be thankful just to have that source of communication or availability. Look at verse 24 here of Deuteronomy 6. It says, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day." See, that's God's purpose for us. And yet the children of Israel, they took for granted what God had given them. And they didn't appreciate it, and eventually God took away that land, and they were taken into captivity. And God says, no, I want you to enjoy what I've given you, and I want you to appreciate it, thank me for it, and I want you to live by my laws. And they weren't willing to do that. And so we need to be careful with how we live our lives so that God continues to bless us in the way he desires. A few years back, I found an article that tied in with some of our thoughts and ideas in the church, actually ties in with the words of God in the Bible. And so I wanted to mention a few of the points that were written in this article. The article's called Seven Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude That Will Motivate You to Give Thanks Year-Round. So a great title this lady had. Her name is Amy Morin. This was written back in November of 2014. But I mentioned her points, some of them, because they are directly in line with the scriptures. As I go through some of these points, we'll look at the scriptures and see that she was simply following what God already told us was true. But man has to do all these studies to kind of come to this conclusion. So her first point regarding gratitude opens the door to more relationships. I'll read a paragraph here of what she said. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you win new friends, according to a 2014 study. So once again, man doesn't always trust the Bible. They have to go do their own studies, and when the study results come out, they go, oh, look at what we found. But God says, I already told you this. And so we're a bit slow as mankind. She goes on to say, the study found that thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. So whether you thank a stranger for holding the door, or you send a quick thank you note to that coworker who helped you with a project, acknowledging other people's contributions can lead to new opportunities. So as we think about this command that God has given us, man has shown, and God tells us, that there's other positive things that come out of that. I'll just refer to Proverbs 16:24. There it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. So you think about when you thank somebody, the gratitude you show. God is saying, these words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones. And so if we just followed these principles that God has given us, we wouldn't have to wait for man's studies to come to the same conclusion. These studies show what God has known all along, that expressing thanks can bring great benefits to life, and that we need to do that, to grow in that. Because it doesn't cost us anything to offer thanks, does it? It just takes a little effort of sometimes we get out of the habit of. And it doesn't take much time either, but the payback is huge. And God is saying, this is what I want you to do, so you can build relationships and so forth. A second point she had, gratitude improves physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people, according to a 2012 study. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. And it goes on to say how they exercise more often and so forth. So the more grateful we are, it leads to other positive benefits. I'll just refer to Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So if we use our tongue and offer this gratitude, it promotes health, just as this point that this lady writes, that we can have better health the more we express our gratitude. A third point she mentions, gratitude improves psychological health. Who would guess that expressing how we feel towards others in a positive way, thanking them for what they've done, could bring all these benefits? And so they found it improves psychological health. She says, gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert Imbens, PhD, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. Isn't that amazing? So if we're depressed more than we'd like to be, if we're feeling frustrated, the more we turn our energy and our attention to expressing thanks, it literally helps. What does it say in Proverbs 12:25? Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. So that's exactly as the study says, but here's what God is saying. But a good word makes it glad. See how important this is? Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So how do we use our words? Are we watching what other people do? Are we expressing thanks for the good they maybe do to others, not just to us? Because it can pick them up and it literally has a positive effect on us. If only we would follow these instructions from God. Because being grateful literally changes our very lives in a good way, in a positive way. Her fourth point, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Have you stopped to consider that simply giving thanks can do all these things? She says, grateful people are more likely to behave in a loving manner, even when others behave less kind, according to a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky. The participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others, even when given negative feedback. Isn't that interesting? She says they experienced more sensitivity and empathy toward other people and a decreased desire to seek revenge. So these studies are proving what the Bible has already told us. And God says that we're to speak this way, treat other people this way, and it will have positive effect. It ties in with Proverbs 14, verse 30. I'll just refer to that. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So you just think about these little statements that God inspired to be written. It ties in with all these points. And so we need to think about them and how we can improve this in our life. Point number five, she had, grateful people sleep better. So for all of you that aren't sleeping well at night, think about this. Writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep, according to a 2011 study. So they've tested people. They go, this is what we found. Spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. So isn't that interesting? To get our mind in that gear, which fits right with God's words, can help us in that. And so I would add to this point, not only just writing down in a journal some positive thoughts and being thankful for things, but isn't that what we do, many of us, before we go to bed? Prayer, which is expressing to God, the giver of life, we're thanking him. So we're doing the same thing as the journal. And so who would guess that God would set up, you know, if we pray morning, noon, and night, we kind of put these thoughts into our mind and it allows us to be able to sleep better because we kind of let go of the worries and the items of the day and to start saying, God, thank you that I'm being called and all the things that we could go through. And so we should add this as a way to express to God how grateful we are, whether it's writing down in a journal or praying on our knees before our Heavenly Father. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. So God is asking us to think about these things as we live our lives. He's wanting us to improve, get ready for the coming kingdom of God. He gives us admonition all throughout the Bible. Notice what Paul writes here in Philippians 4 and verse 6. He says, be anxious for nothing. The word anxious there, meaning he's really saying don't fret about anything. Don't worry about things that you have no control over. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, notice this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's how we make our requests known. That's how we go to God in prayer, with thanksgiving. You know, even though he doesn't always give us everything we want, he's saying you could still go with this attitude that what you have given to me, what you have blessed me with, I thank you for it. I'm showing you respect and I'm appreciating what you have given me. And so we must ask with that attitude. We must consider that prayer is not a chore. You know, I could even show of hands. How many of you at times in your life, whether as a kid or adult, have thought prayer is sort of a chore? I know I have. You know, as a kid, it's like, I have to pray. You know, my parents, go say your prayers. Like, oh, it's a chore. But we need to think about it as we grow older. It's actually a privilege. It's not a chore. But our attitude can look at it in that way. God is saying, it's an opportunity to come before me and show me praise and honor, to have this relationship with the one who desires for you to have spirit life and to live forever. It's a privilege to come before the greatest being in all the universe. And so we have an opportunity to tell God how thankful we are, to express it. And to think that we can come before God anytime. Some people, you can't do that, right? Certain kings, certain rulers, you can't come before them anytime you want. Think about how Queen Esther, she couldn't even approach her own husband without being petitioned, without him putting out his scepter. She could have her life taken to come before her husband, the king. And yet, God, the greatest king, is saying, you, my children, can come before me anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Isn't that amazing? And so, how thankful we should be. You know, the author mentions under this point of grateful people sleep better. Other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons rather than becoming resentful toward people who have more money or better jobs. Grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. So you think about all the people that have envy. Oh, I want that. They've got more than me. I deserve it more than they do. Whatever the attitude is, as we express thanks more, it begins to change things in our mind. This is all, our minds have been wired by God. He knows what he's saying. And he's simply asking us to try it and to see that it works, which man is coming around slowly with some of these articles they write. So the trend in society is, if the friends have it, I want it. You know, the newest phone. Oh, I've got to get that phone. I've got to have that iPad, whatever it might be. But notice here in verse 11 of Philippians 4, God tells us not to worry in verse 6, but in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. See, we need to be thankful for what we have instead of griping about what we don't have. That's what God is training us in. And the more grateful we are, the less envious of others' possessions, their accomplishments, their positions. This is what God is asking us to think on. Let me mention one last point this lady has. Gratitude increases mental strength. So at times, we all have those weaknesses that we go through. Here's what she says. For years, research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. In 2006, study found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst of times of your life, fosters resilience. So isn't that interesting? The word resilience, meaning the ability to recover quickly from setbacks, or able to bounce back after a trial. So we all want to be resilient. We have those trials that come in our life, but God says, I've shown you a way that you can literally bounce back from this trial. The loss of a loved one, a terrible tragedy. God says, I want you to bounce back and keep on that path and keep working towards the kingdom. And so here's a way to do it that man is coming around to, but God has already shown us how important that is. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. You know, God wanted to give the children of Israel the promised land, and they should have been so thankful for that. And so at the beginning of their trek through the wilderness, he literally says, you know, I want you to go spy out the land. I want you to see how beautiful and rich it is. Pick a leader from each of the tribes and send 12 men in there and come back with a report. And so those spies came back and they gave a bad report because they forgot who was leading them. And so, yes, they said the land is plentiful, but they were more focused on the people. Oh, the people are so big. Their cities are so tough to, you know, their fortresses are strong. We can't do anything. And they forgot about God. So let's notice their attitude real quick here, Numbers 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. So this is after they hear the bad report. And the people wept that night. Can you imagine that? These 12 spies come back, appointed by God, give this report, and the people are crying. He goes, I want to give you this land. I mean, that should have been a sign right there that God will work it out. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Wow. You talk about being unthankful. So they got caught up in emotion. They listened to the report of 10 of the 12 spies, which you know how that goes. The more you have on a side, you tend to lean towards that. And it's so important for us to think about how God wants us to continually be thankful. Let's skip over to verse 10 here. And so, you know, as it goes down, the people were so upset. They literally wanted to kill off the leader and appoint a new leader. You know, let's get rid of Moses. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But verse 10, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. So now they're talking about Joshua and Caleb because they're the ones giving the good report. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Now you think about the tremendous example that God set with the plagues on Egypt and the opening of the Red Sea and on, the manna. And they forgot. We can forget too, so we have to be careful. Let's skip down to verse 22. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. Now we know that Joshua and Caleb, they're the ones that made it in the promised land. And so to me, if we just look at this story and take a point out of it, is God is saying to all of us, he's offering us a promised land too, to be in the kingdom of God. Just like these people, the Israelites, desired a physical promised land, we look to a spiritual one. And we have to make sure we're not complaining, that we put our trust in God and that he has the power to make it work out, no matter what the obstacle. And so we need to be appreciative of everything we have, to be thankful for what God has given us in life. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 as we wrap up here. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So I mentioned earlier the physical blessings that we enjoy. So many of them. And you could make a list and go on and on with things that you notice in your life. But here it talks about the spiritual blessings. Ephesians 3, or I should say 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So consider the spiritual blessings that we have. And you could expand on each one of these, but what about the opportunity just to meet here today? Just to have a church service available, whereas there's individuals in the world that can't even make it to a church service. The closest one is 500 miles away, or there's not even a place to meet in their country. What about having the knowledge of God's plan? What about being made in the image of God? Out of all the creatures on earth, man is made in the image of God, and we know that's for a great purpose. What about the angels that God sets about us? What about the armor that he provides? What about the Holy Spirit that he desires to put in us? What about the words of God from the very Almighty that he says, I want to talk to you, my children? And we could just go on and on with all these things, that our body is a temple of God's Holy Spirit, that we're offered salvation, that we can become the bride of Christ, that we can live forever. Brethren, make a list of physical blessings, spiritual blessings, to think about how much we do have to be thankful for, and then to go beyond that and express that thanks. Look at verse 9 here in Ephesians. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. See, we know what that will is. We know what his purpose is, and it ties in with each one of our lives, that God says, I want you to be my children. Verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. So here Paul is setting an example of what we all should be doing, giving thanks for one another. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, all these things are items that we can be thankful for. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And brethren, we could read so many other scriptures, but you can just see on a spiritual level what God is offering to each one of us that he wants us to enjoy. Let's finish up in Colossians chapter 2. A couple books forward, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So Paul mentioned earlier, which I've been talking about today, that we're not only to be thankful, but we're to express thanks. Well, now here he adds a little more to that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. And then he says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So he not only wants us to give thanks, he wants us to abound in it. That word means to increase. It means to excel. That's what God is saying I need my children to do, to get ready for their future, a great future. Not just to be thankful, but to express thanks, but then to go beyond that and to abound in it, to grow and do better day by day. Brethren, the choice is ours. We can follow the trend of society, and as the times get closer to the end, and people are unthankful, we don't have to follow that trend. God is asking us to come out of the world and to be appreciative of everything that he's given us. And he'll give us so much more in the future. Just because we don't have it today, we know things are coming that we don't have yet. And so make a list of your physical blessings and think about them. Make a list of your spiritual blessings and dwell on them. And make sure that you take the time to express thanks to God for all that he has done, because he's truly worthy of praise and honor and thanksgiving. So not only on the day of Thanksgiving, but each day of your life, take the time to offer thanks to our great God.